This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. When you think of the word lobbyist, it might conjure up images of backroom deals and people like Jack Abramoff, who appeared on this program a few weeks ago. But a veteran lobbyist in Washington is hoping to change that and has been trying to get the Obama administration to stop making lobbyist a dirty word. Howard Marlowe is president of the American League of Lobbyists and Marlowe & Company, a government consulting firm founded in 1984. He joins me now on the phone to discuss what lobbyists do and what they have to offer people who want to influence their elected officials. Howard, thanks for joining us on the show.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
And to offer the Utah perspective, we're also glad to have Frank Pignanelli, partner at Foxley & Pignanelli in Salt Lake City, columnist for the Deseret News, and former House Minority Leader in the Utah Legislature. Frank, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
Well, Howard, let's start off with the general question here. How do you define the term lobbyist?
Lobbyists are defined both in law and in practice as people who advocate on behalf of either their employer or their client on issues that are public policy issues, and who contact elected officials or senior members of the executive branch here in Washington and plead their case. In essence, what they're doing is helping the folks that they represent get their points across to those people and to exercise in an effective manner their First Amendment rights.
And Howard, what is your what are your thoughts on the general perception of lobbyists in today's world right now? Do you think that most people think of lobbyists as folks like Jack Abramoff, who was on the show a couple weeks ago?
I think that obviously we're getting a lot of bad publicity both from Abramoff and from quite frankly the president, who's bashed lobbyists since the time he was running for president. And just for the record, this is not a political statement, just a statement of fact. But Abramoff was never a lobbyist. When he was on your program, he said he couldn't remember whether he was a registered lobbyist. There are tens of thousands of lobbyists here in Washington and in Utah and all other states that lobby on both legal and ethical manner. And Abramoff did none of that.
And Frank Pignanelli, what are your thoughts on the perception of lobbyists here in Utah? Is it pretty negative as well?
Well, it does get a bad rap on a couple of things. First of all, the national attacks, whether from President Obama or even from Republicans, doesn't help. Secondly, the media loves to make fun of lobbyists. What's interesting, though, Doug and I, my partner Doug Fox, we represent the media. We're actually lobbyists for the media because they have important issues before the state legislature and the governor's office and others. And what they asked us to do is that they, because Doug and I know the process, we know some of the players. More importantly, we can provide a strategy for them. That's the best thing a lobbyist do. It's the same thing that a lawyer provides or even a doctor provides to people, which is a strategy how to deal with your problems. And that's what we do, is we provide a strategy, and then they make the decisions whether to execute that strategy or not.
Yeah, and I agree very much with Frank. Our clients of my firm are cities and counties. In fact, at one time we represented South Salt Lake. And we sit down with them. We talk with them about what their needs are. We help them prioritize because sometimes they're looking for things in Washington that are just not realistic. And then we help them to formulate how to bring their case to their elected officials. We get them to come into Washington. We're facilitating in that sense. The kind of stuff that Abramoff is talking about is, he went to jail for it, and he belonged in it. And if it were going on in other places, other people would go to jail.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guests are Howard Marlowe. He is president of the American League of Lobbyists, and we're also glad to have Frank Pignanelli, partner at Foxley and Pignanelli here in Salt Lake City. Well, Howard, give me a sense then of exactly how you do your job as a lobbyist, what the day-to-day activities involve for both you and your partners and the people who work for your firm.
Actually, incidentally, there may be an article coming out in a national magazine soon that had a reporter shadowing me. It was probably a first in Washington for lobbyists to let a reporter come along and see what I do, but. And fortunately that day we had a client in town, but even for meetings that did not involve that client, I'm prepped. I got a fact sheet. I know what I want to bring to that. I know the people who I want to talk to. And if I'm talking directly to, usually talking with staff members, not always talking with members of Congress. They're busy folks. Staff members are the folks who keep track of the issues. And all I'm doing is up there and meeting with them or having our clients talk with them. We brief our clients before they go into a meeting so they know how to make their case effectively within a short period of time. And then we come out and we follow up and we stay in touch. We're people who try to help our clients resolve problems as well as meet their needs. There are a bunch of problems that you can have with the federal government trying to, weave your way through their system.
And Howard, is it only meetings though? Are there meals, that sort of thing? Buying meals or gifts for lawmakers?
No, they're totally prohibited at the federal level. I can't buy a bottle of water. I can't even give somebody a Marlowe & Company pen on the Hill. Totally prohibited.
Frank Pignanelli, talk about some of the lobbyist changes that were implemented here in Utah back a couple of years ago. I believe you were perhaps involved in formulating those in some way.
Yes, because Doug and I have remained committed. We're very proud to be lobbyists. We believe that it's, and we know it to be a great profession. We do wonderful things for not just business clients, but a lot of nonprofits. Some of the changes, quarterly reporting on dinners and lunches, anything over $10 is reportable unless you invite the whole legislature or a whole committee. So they've ramped up that reporting, which is fine. Right? I think that's great. Let it out there. The only thing that's a little frustrating is that it's hard to find a breakfast or lunch or dinner for $10, and you can buy some and still that. This has to be reported. So what happens a lot is that you'll find the cheapest meals, and that's not always the best meals. But at the same time, I believe in transparency and accountability, and that's great. People ought to know where their legislators are going to dinner, things like that, if it's a more expensive dinner. There's a sensitivity by lawmakers. They don't want to be reported, but yet no one's ever lost an election because they went to dinner with a lobbyist. I think that the sensitivity is heightened by the media. One thing I want to point out, I give a lot of lectures to different trade groups, to nonprofits. When I go up the Capitol, yes, that represents some corporate and business interests, but I will always lose to a well-organized citizen group that's opposed to me. And that's the way it should be. Citizens are activated and engaged, either through a lobbyist or whatever, but if they're up there talking to the representatives, I'll always lose. Let me tell you who the best lobbyist is. The best lobbyist is Gail Ruzicka. Now, I disagree with Gail Ruzicka on almost everything, but look what she's done. She is completely, every year she changes the debate up there.
Right.
And she does not give out campaign contributions. She has a small group of people, but they show up. She is an indication that the system works. Yes, you can have businesses and associations and nonprofits hire lobbyists, but more importantly, citizens who engage can transform the system. And so anyone who says the system's broken or it's corrupt or whatever, well, they're dead wrong. All they have to look to is open their papers, and they can see a citizens group, pro and con this issue, are making a difference. All we do is we're making it easier for people who maybe can't get up to Capitol Hill. But at the end of the day, the people that run the show in state government and sometimes in federal government are those people who show up. So it's just lazy to say the system's broken.
Well, Frank, let me ask you. There was an interesting article in the Tribune this year by Lee Davidson about these sponsored lunches that lawmakers have. It seems that every day during the session they have some kind of lunch sponsored by a various group. Does that not give you cause for concern, at least about the perception of what you do up there on Capitol Hill? That people think that you're giving lawmakers free lunch every day?
Well, different trade associations, groups, and organizations will sponsor lunch, and I had some clients to sponsor lunch. I've never once had a lawmaker say they're going to vote for or against something because of the lunch I bought. It just is not the case. What it is, it provides an opportunity. These guys, these men and women are very busy, and what these lunches do, they're there all at once. You have their attention for 10 minutes, and you can make the presentation. Now, you don't have to have bought them a lunch in order to make the presentation. You can get on the calendar, and a lot of nonprofit organizations do that. We just believe that for some of the trade associations, other organizations that we represent, that if we're going to have 10 minutes of these lawmakers' time, we are happy to spend the $10 or so that it costs, maybe less than that, to help offset the cost of that lunch. I mean, because that's money that the legislators don't have to take out of the personal funds. It's money that the taxpayers don't have to pay for. I'm sorry, but the media, who I represent, make a much bigger deal about this because competing interests will buy a small lunch or breakfast for the lawmakers. So it's not like they're gaining any influence over that. They're just trying to be helpful to the process.
Well, Frank, give us a sense of the types of organizations that and companies that you represent.
I represent Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Utah, a local health insurance company. I represent the Trade Association for the Industrial Banks, which are a very key component of Utah's economy. I represent technology companies, ranging all the way from Utah Interactive, which does the e-government website, a very good, one of the best websites in the country. We do work for some work for IBM. We do some work for Google here in Utah. We also do some work for a number of, like, for example, a great company, a local company, Woodbury Corporation. We do work for them. We do work on almost a pro bono basis in many ways for the Shakespeare Theater, for the Utah Media Coalition, the Utah Press Association, some of the Medco. We do some work, too. So it's a wide variety of businesses that and corporations and trade associations we do work for. We also do some nonprofit stuff, whether for the Utah Symphony, Coalition for the Blind, things of that nature.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Frank Pignanelli with Foxley and Pignanelli and also Howard Marlowe with the American League of Lobbyists as well. And Howard, I want to come back to you and ask you specifically about, this letter you wrote to President Obama recently regarding your trade. What did you have to say in that letter?
What we did was to point out that the bashing that the president's done of lobbyists, the fact that he will not allow lobbyists, registered lobbyists, to come into the White House to have meetings. He will not allow registered lobbyists to be on federal advisory committees, which are committees to provide expert advice to various federal agencies. All of the things and more that he's done have discouraged people from registering. In fact, we've lost, I have estimated, about 3,000 registered lobbyists to being unregistered lobbyists. So now the key words that Frank used before were transparency and accountability. If I am a registered lobbyist, you can look on the website of the United States Senate, the United States House, or two private organizations. Mm-hmm. You can find out who I am paid by, how much I'm paid, and what I'm paid to do. If I'm not registered, then I can't be found, period. And so that's bad for public policy.
Howard, I want to ask you about something Jack Abramoff proposed when I interviewed him a few weeks ago in talking about, cleaning up the system. He said that he thinks that anyone who lobbies the federal government, whether you're an actual lobbyist or somebody employing a lobbyist, should be banned from contributing to those elected officials at all. What's your response to that?
Two things. I would be delighted if members of Congress could not ask me for political contributions. It would be
good point,
fantastic. Second of all, it's a problem with the Constitution. The Supreme Court is not going to allow that to happen. So it's a great idea that is not going to have any execution. And with Abramoff, it's like asking Osama bin Laden to come in and give us a lecture on how to prevent terrorism. It's somebody who has scammed the system, who then got convicted. So did the members of Congress who took money from him and other gifts, and then he spent time in jail. Now he's out of jail. He's scamming the system so he can raise the money to pay off his debts. He built Indian tribes out of $40 million. All of those things. There's no way that man should be given credence when we have lobbyists in Utah and in Washington and everywhere else who have been, going on for years. I could not be in business here for 28 years. I could not be without having credibility and a good reputation. And that's the way other folks are in the lobbying profession.
Well, Frank, let me ask you, because Utah's a, you know, contribution system, there are less rules than the federal government. Corporations can donate directly to candidates for political office in this state. Does that give you cause for concern?
It doesn't for me, because first of all, it's all transparent. Not only does the Canada have to disclose, but any corporation or PAC that donates more than $750 per year has to disclose. So it's all transparent. And you know, we're a smaller state, so if the pool of individuals to go for, if we were to prohibit corporate contributions, would be limited. I don't understand what the problem is with that. If a business wants to contribute to a candidate, they should be able to do so. I've yet to see any problems other than hypothetical problems that are out there. So I just don't see any issues at all with that. One of the things I just wanted, and Harold's much more of a gentleman than I am. Look, I voted for Obama, but whether it's President Obama or it's a member of Congress, and Republicans do this too, any politician, local or national, that says the problem with government's the lobbyists, or lobbyists have done this, they are at the best duplicitous, but they're being hypocritical. Harold and I don't have a vote. Harold and I cannot push a button and vote. So if an elected official is upset at the result of something, it's the people who vote who make the difference. They can say no. They can say yes. It's up to them. So to blame a lobbyist is like blaming the waiter because you ordered an extra dessert. All we do is provide information. And this bashing a lobbyist, saying we're to blame, is really hypocritical, because if they want to change the system, they can do it. They all have to do is say no or yes to us.
And, Frank, let me ask you, you know, if I am somebody who's interested in employing a lobbyist here in Utah, how much more effective will that make my voice versus, perhaps going to my lawmaker directly? And how costly is it to employ a lobbyist here in Utah?
It all depends. Obviously, if it's a large technical business matter, it's going to cost more because you have to wade in and get the details. I always encourage people, if it's a neighborhood issue or whatever, get together your neighbors, go talk with your lawmaker, because still a small state, you can accomplish it. If you do want to, and oftentimes I provide free advice to citizens groups, whatever, how to get a bill passed. But if they really want to, it's much like hiring a lawyer. If you have a small claims court matter, there's no details, go represent yourself. But if you have a lot at stake, or your industry has a lot at stake, or your community has a lot at stake, then just as you would in a lawsuit, you would hire a professional. And what lobbyists offer is the understanding of the process. They will know lawmakers, but they'll also know, say, look, if this lawmaker is going to hear this, or this is what's important to them. This is, they're not necessarily going to schmooze them, but they're going to say, these are the issues important to this group of lawmakers or this committee. They'll help you with the committee presentation. They'll help you with the handouts and things of that nature. So they provide professional advice and guidance. And it all depends on the expertise. Businesses pay more, but also they demand more because they want year-round help and assistance. So it can range anywhere from several thousand dollars to much more than that, depending upon the nature of the issue and if it's going to be a year-round issue. And it's just like anything else, you pay for that assistance, especially if you're opposing a group organization that has lobbyists on the other side.
Gentlemen, we're out of time, but this has been a great conversation. You're listening to Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guests this segment have been Howard Marlowe. He's president of the American League of Lobbyists and Marlowe and Company. And Howard, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
And we're also pleased to have been joined by Frank Pignanelli, partner at Foxley and Pignanelli here in Salt Lake City, former House Minority Leader in the Utah Legislature as well. Frank, thank you for your time as well.
Thank you.
You're listening to Politics Up Close here on NPR Utah, KCPW.